B-Pod Studios.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes, twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town fame. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Righty, Gasper and Murray, 98.5, a sports hub coming to you from the Town Fair Tire Studio in lovely, picturesque Dorchester, Massachusetts. Just a great commute in today. Again, I mean, I've been saying it for a year plus. I don't know where you people are going. I don't get it, especially on a Saturday. But, hey, I guess you're out there doing stuff. You're acting like, yeah. We're back in the before times. You got places to go. Where are you going? Don't know.
At least it means we have a captive audience.
Yes. 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 I look at the silver lining here. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. We got to think that all these people in all of their cars jammed in all of that traffic are tuned to 98.5 The Sports Hub as you should be. Yes. Chris is back after your jaunt last weekend. You were down in the Charlotte area. You were at the last Patriots game against the Carolina Panthers. As we all know now, Chris, the Patriots, they are Super Bowl bound. Their rookie quarterback, Mac Jones, the best quarterback in the history of the NFL. What else is there to say? I mean, when you saw it firsthand last week, I mean, their upward trajectory, the best team in the league, AFC wide open. I mean, we should just wrap right now. Just go to Fox Sports Radio, because as we all know, the Patriots, they're playoff bound, they're Super Bowl bound. Who's going to stop them?
Yeah, no flaws on that team at all. Beating all of the best teams, beating all the best quarterbacks. You're right. It's a good point. I guess we should just go back to the fellas.
Yeah. Oh, right. Yeah. Does that show still exist?
I don't think so.
Thank God. Finally, some programmer finally realized, why is this on the air? The fellas, everybody. Anthony Gargano and whoever the hell the other guy was. No, but the Patriots got a big game tomorrow against the Cleveland Browns, of course. I do believe, I'm obviously being facetious because I do think that some of the commentary surrounding the team has gotten ridiculous. We'll get into the... I'm surprised you hadn't heard this.
I had not heard this until you mentioned it to me.
The 2001 parallels. I mean, you get people writing about it. Obviously, the fans, you want to do this, fine. I won't take you seriously. But writers, talking heads, Bill Simmons, like, oh, no, it's 2001-ish. Like, no, it's not. And let's just even remove the Tom Brady aspect from it. Like, how many Hall of Famers or team Hall of Famers were on that team?
Good point.
You want to compare J.C. Jackson to Ty Law? You want to do something like that? You're a moron. People want to do this. Look, they've saved their season, because after Dallas, it did feel like it was over, right? Like, or they were taking on water, and the way that the AFC was shaping up at that point, it felt like going to be a real upward climb here. But they have had some real upward trajectory. The quarterback play, I think, has kind of plateaued the last couple of games. But defensively, they've gotten better. And they are separating themselves from the bad teams, too.
Absolutely.
So they weren't doing that early. They're playing down to the level of the Houston Texans. They squeak out that win. And the AFC is itself, too, and this was my opening take on Felger and Maz yesterday, they do have as good a chance as anybody else, Chris, to get into the playoffs and maybe win a game or two. I think the expectations should even change for Patriots fans. Like, you should even expect now, like, a home playoff game. Maybe even the division, because the rest of the conference blows.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's totally wide open. And maybe that's where the 2001 comparison I had not heard is coming from. You know, the feeling that, like, hey, this thing's wide open, and why not us? Why not the Patriots? I think certainly the defense is playing at a playoff level. You're making enough plays offensively. I will say that when I look at it, I do feel that people just have to keep in mind the team is now functioning the way it was built to function, which was that they were going to build the talent around the quarterback, regardless of who the quarterback was, whether it was Mac Jones or Cam Newton, and ask the quarterback to be not the centerpiece like he was for, at least the back half of the Brady years, the last decade there, but basically a supporting piece. And that's what I think Mac Jones has done. He's made the plays when he had to make them. I was down there in Charlotte. I thought his third and goal throw to Hunter Henry was one of the single biggest plays of that game. You know, just being there live, watching the Panthers struggle with terrible Sam Darnold, who has 11 turnovers in four games against the Patriots. 14-6 felt insurmountable, the way he was playing and the way the Patriots defense was playing. So give Mac Jones credit for making the plays when he needs to make them. But I do think when you go back and look at it, when they were losing the games, people were saying, well, you know, his offensive line is terrible and he has no weapons. Now they're winning the games. And as you said, it's like Mac Jones is the best of the quarterbacks, not the rookie quarterbacks, the best of the quarterbacks. How dare you compare him to Kirk? It's like, okay, no, the team is functioning the way it's supposed to function. The other elements of the team are uplifting the quarterback and making it so he doesn't have to carry the team. That's why they're winning. That's why they're winning these games.
Yeah, I thought he had really just two good throws last week, and that was about it. One, the aforementioned Hunter Henry touchdown, because I did
great
think he put
throw.
It, yeah, great throw, low, put it in a place where yes. only Hunter Henry can make a play on it. And then that one that was kind of like the rainbow.
To Brandon Bolden.
Yeah, to Brandon Bolden. Other than that, I think these last couple of weeks he's been meh. I thought he was better last week than he was against the Chargers. I thought that was his worst game against LA.
Yeah, and those are two really good defenses, and that sort of is interesting in terms of what does that portend for tomorrow against Cleveland, which I think is a very good defense. You're looking at a Cleveland team that's given up 14, 15, and 16 points in their last three games. So I think points could be hard to come by in this one. And, you know, I think, again, as long as everybody's clear-eyed about it, they do have a very – look, they should make the playoffs. I think they can contend. Let's see how far they can go. But if that happens, you just have to keep in mind sort of the way the team is built and the way the team is winning. I don't think it's a coincidence that they're winning – these games now, and you're getting better play from the supporting cast. I think sometimes it's easy, like with the great quarterbacks, you can just distill it down to the quarterback. Like Aaron Rodgers goes into Arizona, has like no receivers, and they win. You're like, well, you know, if you have another quarterback, you're probably not winning that game. I feel like the last two wins, at least, it's like there's a lot of other quarterbacks you could have had where you would have won those games.
Am I crazy to think that people should maybe recalibrate their expectations for what this team should be looking to do in the playoffs, having a home playoff game because of the landscape of the conference?
Yeah, I mean, I still think Buffalo's the favorite in the division just because they have more talent. I think the Patriots can make it certainly a race because they have the two games coming up against them in December. And I think the schedule is really breaking well for them at this time in terms of this game tomorrow. No Nick Chubb, no Kareem Hunt. Myles Garrett looks like he's going to play, but I guess he's a little banged up. You're getting Cleveland at home. Then you're going to play Atlanta, and you know Calvin Ridley's away on mental health leave. And then you're going to play Tennessee. You get him at home. No Derrick Henry. So the schedule is sort of breaking your way where you're getting these teams at the right time. I said that if they beat the Chargers, I thought that they should have, at that point, I'd be like, they're going to have a five-game winning streak going into that Tennessee game. And I still feel that same way. You know, you beat the Jets. If you win that Chargers game on the road, to me, still the best win of the season. Carolina, I like their chances against Darnold, and obviously you saw how that worked out. I like them tomorrow against Baker Mayfield. And then you play that game against Atlanta, you should have a five-game win streak going into the mini-bye and Tennessee coming here without Derrick Henry. That sounds pretty good. I'd be pretty excited about that as a Patriots fan.
Yeah, I still can't believe how these other teams, like the iron of the AFC, just keep tripping over their own dicks to these terrible teams. Like last week, Buffalo, 6 points against Jacksonville. They lose that game 9-6. Vegas goes to the Giants. They stink. They get basically, you know, killed by that team. And then this thing on Thursday night, Baltimore. You know, Lamar Jackson, most, you know, from at least most national NFL talking heads, is in the conversation of the top five for MVP this year. And I feel like, you know, that Brian Flores kind of showed you the book on how to beat that guy. And we've kind of seen it before. The Patriots have done it before. If you stop the Ravens run and then you blitz the hell out of him, his head starts spinning and then he's chucking bad balls deep. I don't think his deep ball's all that great. And then he just looks average at best. Like, and so now, like, I don't know what to make of the conference. So that's why I'm like, yeah, maybe, you know, the Patriots, are they a Super Bowl team realistically? Like, no, guys. But, you know, playoffs, yes. If they don't make the playoffs at this point, given the landscape of the AFC, massive failure. And I think you should be expecting maybe a home playoff.
Well, so here's the thing. Like, I had not heard any of this 2001 talk that you were telling me about yesterday, but maybe that's where some of this comes from. When you look at the rest of the AFC, like, once the Patriots get in, don't you think the Patriots would be a pretty tough out?
Yeah.
Once they get in?
I just don't know. See, this is the thing, though, because I still don't know what to make of them. I think a lot of their, statistically, what they've done defensively is because they've done it against wretched teams with awful quarterbacks. And yes, they've done a better job against them in separating, you know, like themselves from the really bad teams. But this feels 2019-ish to me. You know, like with the boogeymen and look at the stats.
Oh, really?
It does.
Yikes.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
You don't think it's real?
Yeah, I'll own it. I don't really buy it. I think it's because they're beating up on terrible quarterbacks.
Interesting. All right. I disagree. I think their defense is legit because I think the front seven is
you Barmore's know. Real. Judon is like a young who was the freak there from Tennessee. Javon Curse, like a young, like that's legit. The rest of them, like that secondary, like I don't know.
I think Miles Bryan has been a real find. I think the safety play is very good. What it boils down to for me when I look at the Patriots, and Belichick always says this, and it's so true, Jim, more games in the NFL are lost than are won. And the Patriots, there are games where they've certainly made a ton of mistakes against Carolina, penalties and turning the football over with Mac Jones and borderline plays with Mac Jones in terms of the Brian Burns thing. But by and large, you know, situationally, they play well. They've turned it around in the red zone offensively. And where some of these other teams are going to come out and just beat themselves, I feel like the Patriots aren't going to do that. And, you know, what's the old epigram of Sun Tzu? You know, if you wait long enough, you'll see the dead bodies of your enemies, you know, float down the river or something like that. It's basically like as long as you can hang on and let these other teams be complicit in their own demise, you can rise to the top. You know, it's like, again, we always talk about it on this show. The two sweetest words in the English language.
Default.
Default. All they have to do is just like stay the course. And I think that's why people are looking at it and saying, oh, this could be like 2001.
Well, yeah. I mean, the disparity between Belichick and some of these moron coaches. I mean, this thing last week, Chris, when I saw Adam Schefter tweet, I'm getting my morning muffin and my coffee, and I see the tweet come in that the Panthers are going to start Sam Darnold. I immediately retweeted that by saying, ball game. It was over before it started. Sam Darnold took no snaps all week.
Yeah.
Concussion, shoulder, they must really not trust P.J. Walker. Sam Darnold showed you what he really is.
He did.
Last
He's
week.
Terrible.
It's not just about the Jets. It's not just about Adam Gase. He stinks. Stinks. And so once I saw that, like, they, you know, you play right into this. And then after the second interception, too, wouldn't you sit him down, Matt Rhule? Nah, apparently not. No, we'll stick with this moron. So, like, a lot of these games are over before they even start just because, like, the stupidity that you see rampant throughout the league.
Yeah, it's true. And teams certainly are limited, and the Patriots will get the most out of what they have, right? So you look at it now and you say, okay, we don't have Jonathan Jones. That's a big loss. You don't trust the secondary. But has it really hurt them yet? And I think a lot of that's coaching. It's Miles Bryant stepping up. So that is still an advantage. I said this before, even last year, you know, when we were doing, and really it's sort of perpetual at this point, the perpetual Brady victory dance. I still said Bill's worth two wins a year.
Yeah.
He's just not worth the five or six you all thought he was worth. The other guy's worth five or six.
Yeah, that'd be
so
great.
So when you put the two of them together, there's seven or eight wins a year there that you're getting just on the coach and the quarterback. You know, quarterback wise, obviously that guy's gone, but you still have the coach who's worth two wins a year.
Yeah, worth two wins, but still not enough cachet to get an Odell Beckham Jr. Now, if the other guy who's worth the five to six wins was still here, then you'd have.
He would have been here in a heartbeat.
Well,
are you kidding me?
Yeah,
he would have been here so fast. If I mean the goat cleats, I know we're going to talk about it. That whole thing, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but just quickly, how was that whole scene last week? It was basically like a Patriots home game.
Oh my God, so many Patriots fans. Yeah, it felt like a Patriots home game. The cheering. At times it was confusing because you're like, you know, if you stepped away for a second to grab something, sometimes you go to grab like a drink or whatever, and you sort of judge
the
noise of the crowd, like something happened. So you'd hear this like big cheer, and I'm like, oh, I guess Carolina did something. And it was like, nope, Darnold got sacked. It was awesome. I mean, the Patriots fans definitely showed out down in Charlotte, no doubt about that.
All right, well, if you want to join us here talking about the Patriots, this game tomorrow against Cleveland, big game. I mean, this could, because all this, like the narrative of them, like deep run playoffs, all that, if they happen to lose this tomorrow, because again, not great at home, only one win, asterisk, Jets. At home against...
You're bringing back the asterisk?
A little bit. I mean, your one home win this year is against the Jets. I mean, the Jets are wretched. So, you know, it's no given. So if they lose this tomorrow, pop. The bubble kind of burst a little bit here with this narrative. But your thoughts on tomorrow's game, the Patriots so far, you want to join us. Only 90 minutes today, too. So you want to get in, I would do it now. It's 617-779-0985. It's Gasper and Murray.
Chris Gasper. Big Jim Murray. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Chris Gasper and Big Jim Murray.
Give me fuel, give me fire. Give me that which I desire.
It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okay, and speaking of this, you know, kind of area, feet, ankles, I was just wondering if the Brian Burns and Mac Jones thing got your attention at all, if you took note of that.
Yeah, of course, I watched it. And, you know, I'll hold my comments on that one. And, I mean, hopefully it doesn't happen to me. I don't know. He doesn't turn into, like, the ankle grabber. I don't know. So we'll see.
I mean, is that, you on high alert for that?
I mean, if I tackle the man or I sack him, I let him grab me. Honestly, that's on me. I'm not saying it's on Brian. He didn't expect it. But now we've all seen it. It's like, now I know to get my behind up and get out the way.
Thank you, Nate. Our next question is...
All right, so there's Browns defensive end Myles Garrett. He of the 12 sacks, who is going to play. He didn't practice the first couple of days this week, dealing with a... I think he also has a foot or an ankle injury, but he did practice yesterday. He sounds like he's going to be good to go. But that is a little back and forth with some of the Cleveland reporters asking about, you're worried about Mac Jones maybe getting a hold of that ankle post-play and twisting it like he did to Brian Burns down in Carolina. A cheap play. It was a cheap play. Part of me also kind of enjoyed it, Chris. I do like, I've been a big believer in watching sports my whole life of this saying, you can't teach mean. Okay. I used to say it about Rodney Harrison. You can't teach mean, and it's a good thing to have. You don't want to go over the line too much, but you want to kind of get close to that line. And I think Mac Jones, it has a mean streak. Like that was a dirty, cheap, Grayson Allen-esque play against Burns last week. So I kind of like it. Kind of like a little dirt, shows a little fire. Maybe this explains a little bit more about the crazy breathing exercises he has when he goes to the sideline. He's, calm down. Like he runs hot. I think that's actually kind of
good.
Yeah,
and we saw this before, not in terms of the behavior, but, you know, when he was on the bench, upset after losing. I mean, the kid wants to win. You have to like the competitive streak. You know, I'm hoping this is not going to become like a Grayson Allen thing where it's, you know, where he's a repeat thing. Grayson Allen was tripping everybody in the ACC. I hope it's not like that. I tend to agree with you. I thought it was an uncalled for play. I 100% did not believe the complete BS explanation from Belichick and Mac Jones that he thought he had
the ball.
You know, I thought it was more sort of Mac got strip sacked. He panicked. He didn't want it to be a scoop and score, and so he just grabbed the guy's ankle and held on for, you know, dear life. It's I would say, you know, it's kind of like one of those like early, you know, Brad Marchand plays, right? Where it's like, okay, if the other team did this to your guy, you'd be like, wow, that's a super dirty, cheap, you know, play. But because it's your guy, you're willing to sort of overlook it and just, you know, harp on the competitive factor of it. So I thought it was sort of one of those things where it's like, okay, this is the guy's competitiveness getting the best of him. And now it's you can be a competitor and sometimes you can run hot. And you redline it and you go past the line. And that's kind of what happened on that play.
But I said on Monday, call Burns. Call this guy.
Yeah.
Apologize for the cheap WWE ankle twist that you did there. Own it. Because otherwise, it's a small league, and maybe you're going to end up with a target on your back. Well, Burns, he's carried on too much. And he did play in the rest of the game. It's not like he broke the ankle.
Yeah, I know. He came back.
But, I don't know. It does feel like now he has a target on his back, and they're asking Myles Garrett about it. And you had Burns say, you know, I hope happy hunting to all the rest of the defensive ends or, you know, in the rest of the league. Like, I don't know if Mac Jones or the Patriots handled this correctly. Again, on one end, I like it in a sick way because, like, again, you can't teach mean. I like that. I like a little bit of dirt. But on the other, like, own it. Don't pretend that, like, again, you thought he had the ball and you thought it was a clean play. Because now, I mean, you know, people could be hunting for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. You know, ultimately, I don't think it will really impact the rest of their season or sort of Mac Jones' career. But it is interesting because, you know, Mac Jones... He wants all the smoke, apparently.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's okay that you want it. Like, you just got to make sure you can handle it if you want it. I mean, that's what the guys, the veterans in the building tell you that, you know, Mac, they said from the beginning back in training camp, you know, Mac has some swag. He's not, you know, who you think he would be when he sort of comes off in these press conferences is like, oh, shucks. So we'll see. You know, I don't mind anybody who, you know, talks the talk as long as they can walk the walk. And he just has to sort of back this up. If he's gonna behave this way and be unapologetic and say, no, you know, this is what it is, then okay, you just have to be able to back it up. You know, don't get hurt and don't give up any more blindside sacks where you get strip sacked and you got to make the playoffs.
Jeff and Milbury on this Mac Jones, Brian Burns situation. Go ahead. You're first up here on Gasper Murray today. Hello.
Hey, guys. So the Burns guy, I mean, at some point he's got to cool it. Like, it's tackle football. Like, didn't Bryant, was it Miles Bryant who, like, knocked somebody? Didn't he knock DJ Moore out for a minute here? Like, Mac Jones has taken enough hits where he could have, like, broken his neck on half of them, all these blindside hits from the offensive line not doing what they're supposed to be doing. At some point, the Burns guy has to calm down. It's tackle football. He grabbed your ankle. If he twisted it a little, whatever. I mean, how many ankle twists do you see on every tackle play of, like, a running back, a wide receiver? It's surprising people don't break ankles, you know, every week. So I'll hang up and I'll listen.
So if Baker Mayfield, I know he said he's going to hang up. So if Baker Mayfield does this week to Matthew Judon.
Oh, people would be out of their minds.
Judon doesn't have the ball. And then in the next four games, Judon has no sacks and is on the injury report with an ankle. We're all cool with it, right? Because that's pretty much what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, here's what I'd say about that play. He's right. It is tackle football. And this is the way I try and judge these things in every sport. Is it a play that happens naturally in the course of football? Is that a play that would happen naturally?
No.
No. And so that, to me, is the difference. It's one, the Miles Bryant... DJ Moore play is a play that happens naturally. It's in the natural flow of the game. It's something you expect to see. Grabbing and twisting the ankle of a guy who doesn't have the ball from the quarterback when you're on the ground, you don't see that a lot. It's not sort of part of the natural just flow of the game. You have to go out of your way to make that play.
Let's go to Alex in Brookline on tomorrow's opposing quarterback, Baker Mayfield. Hello, Alex.
Yeah, hi guys. I wanted to get you guys' opinion. I just have a few people in my life who kind of think Baker Mayfield is a kind of average to below average quarterback, and I want to know you guys' opinion on kind of he's their franchise quarterback, and I'm wondering if he is an above average quarterback and has potential to have other years other than kind of outside this year of you know being into upper average and elite.
Thanks, I don't think Alex. He'll ever be elite.
Yeah, I know you can't stand him, Chris, so the floor is yours.
Yeah, I'm not a big Baker Mayfield fan. I haven't been from the jump. I here's what I say. Do I think he's above average? I do. I think he's above average. However, I would say I don't think he's a difference maker quarterback. Excuse me. And I don't think he ever will be. And I think he's just wildly inconsistent. I go back to that Cincinnati game last week. I mean, he had some throws that were as pretty as you're ever going to see. He threw a ball to Donovan Peoples-Jones for, I think it was 26 yards on a third down, just floated it down the sideline. That was a great throw. He had an 18-yard touchdown pass to David Njoku where he just he was able to thread the needle. It was great. But then he misses a wide-open Jarvis Landry. And ultimately, for me on Baker, what I come back to is he, to me, is a guy who talks the talk but can't walk the walk consistently enough for me, and I find that aggravating. I find that annoying.
Third season?
It's his fourth.
Fourth season. Okay, so, I mean, you got enough of a sample size here, but there are still guys that from a statistic standpoint, comparatively speaking, that were still wonky those first few seasons.
Sure.
Drew Brees, Brett Favre was a wild man. Like, I like the mobility. I still think there's some upside there. When he first came into the league, bad coaches. I think he's been a little better here with Kevin Stefanski and the way that he runs that offense.
Yeah.
I still like him. I know your Mac greater than symbol, Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. I think I'd much rather have Mac Jones than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, you know, see, I'd rather
short term and long term. Yeah. I think Mac Jones is a quarterback who more often than not is not going to get you beat. I think Baker Mayfield is one of those guys who can make plays for both teams, and you don't know which guy you're getting from week to week. So, yeah, maybe Baker Mayfield certainly has better physical tools than Mac Jones, and he has more upside than Mac Jones, but I don't think he'll ever reach that, and I don't think you'll get the consistent level of play. And here's the other thing about Baker Mayfield for me. He's in his fourth year in the league. He has an ideal setup for a young quarterback. That offensive line is one of the best offensive lines in the league. It's either Baltimore or Cleveland, best rushing attack in the league. In fact, they lead the NFL in rushes of more than 10 yards this year. So they're getting chunk plays out of their rushing attack. They have 46 rushes of at least 10 yards in that running game. You look at the weapons he has. You know, Njoku's a pretty good tight end. They have Austin Hooper, who's a good tight end. They have the Bryant kid, who's a good tight end. They have three good tight ends. They have Jarvis Landry. They got rid of OBJ, who was, you know, obviously an issue for Mayfield. The defense is one of the better defenses in the league. This is all a way of me saying, like, it's totally set up for him, and still this is a 5-4 team. Wouldn't you think that this would be the year that Baker Mayfield would take the leap when you have all that stuff going for you and all that stuff around you? And I look at last week against Cincinnati, and they put up the 41 points, and that was good. But I think a big part of that was that he only had to throw the ball 21 times. And I can't anoint a quarterback where I look at the team and say, okay, the fewer times this guy throws, that's a great indicator of their success. In other words, the fewer times he passes the football, the more likely they are to win. And I feel like that's Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, there's another good example this year. The game that they had at Minnesota, they won mostly just because of the defense. You know, Mayfield barely threw in that game. You make a case. I just, you know, so I think this maybe goes back to our disagreement on him from when he was at college. You didn't like him. You thought he was too much of a hothead.
Yeah.
I liked him. I understood why there was, you know, why he got drafted so high, why the Patriots at the time were interested. I still think I like the mobility factor. I kind of like the swagger of the kid. But there has been, there is, you know, that gunslinger thing, too, where he's, you know, he thinks he can make a play with his arm, and it ends up getting intercepted. He does make some real boneheaded, dumb plays. I just, I don't know. Like, on the one end, you do have a big sample size here, but it is only his fourth season. Drew Brees, 21-21 through four seasons. I just, maybe it's not the right fit, but you, based on last year, they go to Pittsburgh, they win that playoff game. They should be better than this year. They have been one of the more disappointing teams through the first 9-10 weeks.
I agree, and I think they've been one of the more enigmatic teams. Look, let me ask you this. Whose supporting cast would you rather have, Baker Mayfield's or Mac Jones?
Oh, Mayfield's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, he is so set up to win. And again, I just look at it and think that with Baker Mayfield, so one of the things Mac Jones does really well is process, and he gets the football out fast. I'd say sometimes to his detriment. You know, sometimes he's too quick to take the easy completion check down. And that's why I think, frankly, you know, all these stats every week about his completion percentage, I think it's a little overrated, a little inflated in terms of what it actually means for their offense, because he's taking passes that are sometimes easy passes but aren't going to move the chains. However, I will take that every day of the week over the Baker Mayfield. He just holds on to the ball too long. Like, there's too many times where you're like, ball should be out. He's trying to make these crazy plays that he made at Oklahoma that he's not athletic enough to make at this level. He's just an aggravating guy to watch, and he's the number one reason why I think the Patriots will win tomorrow. Not because he's not an above-average quarterback or he's, like, completely horrible. It's because I think it's a complete mismatch strategically, Bill Belichick against Baker Mayfield.
All right. Chris hates Mayfield. I like him better than Mac. You pick a side. 617-779-0985. Want to join us, get to more of your calls next. And why, during Friday's press conference, it was Patriots head coach Bill Belichick blowing the old smoke up the proverbial skirt of one Josh McDaniels. We'll get to that next here on Casper Murray.
That's an aberration, which I freely admit.
It's Casper and Murray.
I'm drunk, you're gross, let's go.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sounds like fact, not opinion to me.
This is Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Yeah, I think Josh does a great job really in every area. I don't think he really has any weaknesses as a coach. You know, Josh is creative. He's a very forward thinker. He's got a great poise during the game. Never gets rattled. Never, you know, loses the situation, you know, loses track of the situation. He's always a player to a head. And then if it changes and it doesn't follow that sequence, he can, you know, adapt to it pretty quickly.
All right, Patriots head coach Bill Belichick ahead of tomorrow's game against Cleveland Browns. All of a sudden, just like blowing smoke up the old proverbial skirt of Josh McDaniels for some reason. What do you make of this, Chris? Because this really kind of came out of nowhere.
I thought it was a couple of things, and it's related to who the opponent is, the Cleveland Browns. I thought that Bill compared him to Nick Saban, and I think Bill is in a lot of ways still hurt and vengeful about the way he was treated in Cleveland, and feels like you idiots didn't appreciate, you know, Cleveland, you didn't appreciate what I was building there.
How long ago was this? 30 years?
Yeah, but remember the whole Cleveland 95 thing? It's like, hey, we had Saban, you know, we had Mangini was there. We were building this thing the right way, and it was, you guys didn't appreciate me. Art Modell didn't appreciate me. The team ended up moving. You guys thought I was a washed up bum. Now look at this, you know, look at me. So I think he's rubbing salt in the wound there. I also think it had to do with, remember, Josh McDaniels went out to interview for this Browns job, and they went in a different direction, and it was Stefanski, and it was not just because they thought Stefanski was a better coach overall. It was they thought he was a better fit for what they wanted to do organizationally. You know, Josh wanted, I think, some level of personnel control, and they really weren't willing to do that. And Andrew Berry's built a very good team. Guy who went to Harvard, he's built a very good team, at least on paper, a lot of talent there. But I think that, you know, Bill looks at it and says, well, okay, you know, this operation over here, who knows what this is. But if you'd chosen my guy.
You'd be better off.
You'd be better off. You know, look at what Baker Mayfield would be doing with my guy. I thought it was like, you know, it's a little dig at the Browns fans, at the Browns organization. And I felt, even if it's indirect, a little bit at Stefanski, sort of like, well, you know, if Josh McDaniels was coaching Baker Mayfield instead of Kevin Stefanski, I mean, nobody's better at developing a quarterback. And you guys are on the fence on Mayfield, right? You're going to pay him. You're not going to pay him. Well, if you'd chosen my guy and given him control, you'd be paying him because he would be a top 10 quarterback.
I don't know. Do you buy that narrative, though, that McDaniels is like this quarterback whisperer, that he should get another head coaching
job? I definitely think he should get another head coaching job. I do think he is good with quarterbacks. I do. I mean, I saw what he did in 2008 with Matt Castle, and that will always resonate with me. I think he's doing a great job this year with Mac. I think in the beginning of the year, you know, people were blaming mistakes Mac Jones was making, because we all know Mac Jones never makes a mistake, on Josh and like the play calling. And even when Mac Jones was coming out and saying, hey, I looked at the film and there was another guy there, you know, I could have held on to the ball like a little, you know, longer, you know, it's one of those deals where I feel like maybe Josh's reputation there is slightly inflated, but overall, I think he is very good at developing, nurturing, and getting the most out of a quarterback.
He should definitely get another shot. And I see some of the guys that got jobs this past season, and it's like, what the hell were you thinking? Specifically the Philadelphia Eagles and that doofus Nick Sirianni. Oh, my God. Wearing, like, the team T-shirts and hats. What was the head of the Cowboys game? This thing with the planting seeds, where he just, like, that guy should not be in front of a microphone. And it's not like they've really done all that well anyway. Jalen Hurts, I don't know if he's the answer, but that,
yeah.
He ain't it. Like, that's a job that Josh McDaniels should have got.
Agreed. No, I would agree. But again, I think some of these jobs Josh hasn't gotten, and if you know anything about Philly and the way that's run, you know, Howie Roseman, it's sort of like a Littlefinger Game of Thrones like type thing with him.
The GM doesn't want to acquiesce any kind of real power.
And he has the ear of the owner. And I think Josh wants to go into a situation where he's going to have maybe sort of like Shanahan in San Francisco. Like, look, yeah, John Lynch is the GM, but Shanahan really has sort of like the final say there. And I think that's what Josh wants, is a situation where he has a lot of personnel influence. And some of these jobs that have come open, they don't want to build their organization that way. They don't want to do it that way. Or these, you know, GMs are basically trying to protect their little, you know, kingdom. And they're like, oh, you know, telling the owner, I don't know. I don't think Josh is the guy, you know, because they're worried he'll come in and get, you know, a la Chip Kelly. Remember when Chip Kelly was in Philly, he got the ear of the owner and got, you know, basically got Howie Roseman and other people that got their power taken away or got them out of the organization. So I think that's a little bit of the fight for Josh. And I think Josh knows something from Bill that Bill's talked about and that was in Education of a Coach, that, you know, if you're going to do it the second time around, you have to make sure you have as much influence into whether you're successful or not as you can possibly have.
John in Weymouth next here on Gasper Murray. Go ahead, John.
Hey, guys.
Hey,
John, what's up?
Hey, guys, you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we got you.
Hey, great show, guys. Happy Saturday.
You too.
Unfortunately, Murray, I completely disagree with your take on this Mac Jones Burns situation. He shouldn't have to apologize to the guy. If you go back and watch, he gets strip sacked, blasted, right?
Yeah.
Completely blasted.
Yeah, it's Burns' job.
Burns grabs his jersey and drags him three more feet, half a yard. Go back and watch it. He drags the kid. So kid gets pissed, grabs his ankle and tries to bite it off. I would have done the same thing. You guys have a great day.
All right, John.
Well, we appreciate you listening, John. Again, I'll just, you know, I know John's gone, but I asked the same question, and this is what I always try and ask fans to do. You know I probably sound condescending here, but switch the laundry. If you're going to, I'll take your opinion. I'll say it's legitimate. I'll respect it. If you say, if Baker Mayfield does the exact same thing to Matt Judon, that you're okay with it. And if it, and not only that, not just that it happens in the game, but that in the following games, it affects Matt Judon's performance, if you're good with it, then okay, that's a legitimate opinion. If you feel differently and you're just basing it on the, you know, okay, this guy's in the appropriate laundry that I'm rooting for, so when Mac Jones does it, it's cool. When Baker Mayfield does it, it should be a penalty. Then I can't take you seriously.
So this is, again, to reiterate, I liked it. I like knowing that there is maybe this mean streak in Mac Jones. It's also a fast, violent game, and he kind of lost it there for a second. But there's no shame in just giving the old pat on the ass after and being like, I'm sorry, man, I just lost it, or making the phone call afterwards. Because, again, now you probably have a target on your back. And based on what Brian Burns said throughout the week, and he carried on too much, it was a bit of a baby about it as it went on. It just, you know, just squashed the whole thing. There was a quick little play last night. I was at the Celtics game. We'll get into that in like 15 minutes. But, you know, Bobby Portis is that dude. You don't want to mess with Bobby Portis. You know, just read about his time in Chicago. And there was a quick little thing that happened between him and Marcus Smart. And it was late in the third quarter. It looked like a hard foul. They didn't call anything. But, like, Portis and Smart got into a little thing. And then, you know, Portis gave Smart like a quick little pat on the ass, and that's it. Like, they just were like, hey, you know, like, that's part of the game type of thing.
Yeah, you play hard, I play hard. Yeah. Like,
that's all. Like, and that's Mac Jones, I thought, needed to kind of do the equivalent of that. Be like, hey, man, kind of lost it there. Sorry. Or just shoot him a text, call him, be like, hey, sorry about that. You know,
but you don't even have to say the word sorry. You could just say, like, hey, heat of the moment, unintentional. Didn't mean to hurt you. Hope you're okay. Good luck rest of the season. You don't even have to say sorry in it. You can just say, like, you know, unintentional, didn't mean to hurt you there. Whatever, you know, that's all you have to say. But, you know, instead it's like, you know, we're back to sort of like defend the wall mode. So the quarterback who can get sacked and like Brian Burns is doing his job and hits him and dislodges the ball. So then if you're the quarterback standing back there and a defender does his job and hits you, now you have the right to, you know, basically try and go back and hit the guy when he doesn't have the ball. That's what we're doing now.
Now, you know who the real losers are, Chris, here is you and I. People like us, because we're trapped in this, like, world of baby hell is what it is. Because Brian Burns, he's being a giant baby about
That's
it.
True.
And then
you know,
all the Patriots fans saying, he should be banned from the league. Find him. Like, oh, shut up. Shut up. Like, the squawking from both sides. Oh, I hate it so
much. I'll just say this quickly. I think the Burns thing, like, I know people are taking it personally in terms of Mac Jones. I honestly think part of it for Carolina, and Hassan Reddick talked about it after the game, it's not a Mac Jones issue part of it for these guys. It's these defenders are pissed that there's all these rules. Like, how many roughing the passers have we seen this year where you're like, oh my God, he just tackled him? Like, when you have people like Field Yates, who's as level-headed a guy as you're going to find, basically being like, you know, personal foul tackling the quarterback, which he tweeted this year, you know you got an issue. They feel like the quarterbacks are this protected species, and it's open season on them. So I feel like part of this doesn't even have to do with Mac Jones. They're lashing out at the league and being like, do you see this? Do you see how unfair this is? And I'm going to be honest with you, and I know people aren't going to like this, there is like a racial component to it too, because I think the majority of the quarterbacks, what race are they?
White.
Okay, and I'd say the majority of the defenders, right? So I think there's an element of that, rightly or wrongly, perception-wise for some of these players, where they're looking at it and saying, okay, well, these quarterbacks are super protected. You can't do anything to them. Like, if I put my body weight on the guy, it's a personal foul, but I don't have the football. I have my back to this guy. He can grab my ankle, twist it, and turn it like he's Ric Flair, and that's okay. I mean, I think that's part of it. I don't think this is all about Mac Jones.
I think the quarterback protected class thing, you're 100% right. Yeah. I can't believe some of these roughing the passer calls.
Oh, they're ridiculous.
They have thrown this year. I mean, there was one, that Bills-Kansas City game early on, there was one where Mahomes is in the end zone. And it was just like a clean play, roughing the passer. Like, oh, stop it. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a good example, because obviously Mahomes is a minority quarterback. So it's not all about that. But I do think there is an element there of feeling like, oh, the league just wants to promote all the quarterbacks, regardless of race, and they don't care about us, and they're not trying to protect us. And it's like, okay, it's about safety of the game, safety of the game. Safety of the game for whom? Just the offensive players? Mm. Like, there was a penalty, I think, in one of these games the other day where they called, like, it was like a turnover. And I'm trying to remember what game it was. I can't remember. And it basically, the guy, like, the defender pushed down an offensive player who was attempting to, like, make the tackle, and they said it was a blindside block. And I'm like, he's just blocking this guy so he doesn't tackle the guy that got the ball on the interception. I mean, it's ridiculous. You know, I think we've gone too far from the days when, like, you know, you had guys like picking up and body slamming Jim McMahon. He deserved it. But fine. You know, you can't really drive a guy into the turf. There were some ridiculous, dirty defensive tackles in the 80s and 70s and 80s. But now it's like you can't even tackle these guys.
The most annoying narrative surrounding this year's Patriots. We'll get to that next.
This is Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Chris Gasper.
I'm not the one who's red-faced and ranting, so who's the baby?
And Big Jim Murray.
Takes in your face, sports.
Gasper and Murray on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Somebody in Boston, they sent me this. There's some podcast on 98.5, one of the stations, and it's three guys, and they're playing me on Coward talking about the Pats and the AFC.
Oh, really?
No, I said they were starting to feel 2001-ish, and they were all laughing. It was like, 2001-ish? 2001-ish? What's he smoking? It was one of those. That's just Boston radio. Boston radio is just terrible across the board. Right. It's just like, it's all like just trying to in your punch. Me saying a little 2001-ish, they got a whole segment out of it. A little 2001-ish? What? Well, it is a little 2001-ish. Now they're 5-4. The Boston radio stations, their whole job is to just on any optimism from Boston fans.
Yeah.
Or if there's a little brush fire, just pour gasoline on it and try to turn it into a giant fire. That's what they
do. I like that.
It's the fellowship of the miserable.
Yeah, there he is, the foremost authority on everything, Bill Simmons. Still bitter he didn't make it in Boston radio back in the day. And hey, I guess, you know, he won right place, right time, doing the whole ESPN page 2 thing back in the day. We all read it. But
it's brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, right place, right time. I'm no fan.
You're not?
No. I think he is. Do you see what happened here? Let me try to make this comparison. Do you see how Jeff Bezos and his girlfriend, Lauren Sanchez, went viral this week because they were at some big event and Lauren Sanchez met Leonardo DiCaprio and she, the thirst, oh boy, it was like a tidal wave.
It was like Patriots fans with a new quarterback?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, DiCaprio got hit with a tidal wave, which I'm sure has been most of his charmed life. And Jeff Bezos, the richest man on planet Earth, just standing there like just nothing you can do. All the money in the world can't buy cool.
Oh, interesting.
And to Bill Simmons, I would say the same thing. Like, you've made it. You won. But all the money in the world can't buy cool. And that's why the Any Given Wednesday thing didn't work. And that's why you on ESPN as the NBA talking head didn't work. And I would think with your voice like Vern Troyer when he's drunk, no one really wants to hear that. I can't stand him.
Yeah, I didn't realize you had this level.
I think he's the worst. Back in the day, page 2, everyone read him. Great then.
Yeah,
but
fantastic,
like,
right? I'd like to see him write more.
Yes.
He's a fantastic writer.
Write more. In front of a microphone, in front of a camera, no bueno. But all that said, and so of course,
it is like 2001. Yeah, 5-4, 2001.
It's not. It's not. It's not. And I can't take you seriously if you talk that way. You write an article about it. Well, you know, the parallels are kind of close. No, they're not. It's fanboy nonsense. And just, again, remove the quarterback aspect from it. How many Hall of Famers and team Hall of Famers were on that 2001 squad? Not even close.
I like him pretending like he doesn't know who.
Oh,
he doesn't
of course,
know who Felger
too.
And
yeah, right. That's
and,
the other
and
thing
he,
too.
He worked with them at the Herald.
Yeah,
like when
yeah,
they're all coming up.
You know what show it is?
Yeah, he knows the show. He knows those guys. Like he's kind of pretending like an old, like
some
oh.
show. Three guys. Era.
It's that sound. Vern Troyer when he's drunk. Look up Vern Troyer, drunk, YouTube. To me, I hear the same thing when I hear Bill.
You are
Bill
the
Simmons
master
talk.
Of these things.
It is like 2001.
Oh, God. He's built, like, his podcast thing, and, like, I like a lot of, like, the people that ended up working for him. But him, in front of a microphone or a camera, the worst. The worst. So, yeah, Chris, I'm surprised you hadn't heard that, too.
No, no. Yeah, but, I mean, basically, like, look, he's the biggest Boston sports fan in the world. with the biggest megaphone. I mean, that's pretty much the deal, right?
I suppose. Yeah, I don't know how anyone could take him seriously, but that's, I guess it's all objective, right? I mean, it's, you like what you like, I like what I like. I am no fan of Bill Simmons. Boston Radio is the worst. Big Show wouldn't have you. You're still bitter about it. Tommy and Lynn on the Patriots. Go ahead, Tommy.
All right, this is what I got to say about the game. Murray, all right, first off, I want to start out on Thursday night. That game against Baltimore and Miami.
Yes.
All right? Seeing that loss by Baltimore, that helps the Patriots' path and helps them going into the playoffs. Because the AFC sucks this year.
It's wide open. I mean, unless the Chiefs get their act together. Tennessee's good, but yeah.
I know Tennessee's good. KC's good. And Buffalo's still that team, but I don't know. I don't trust Josh Allen, really, in the past couple of weeks, the way he's been playing and that defense has been playing. I don't know about you guys, but, hey, let's keep the winning streak going, Pats, and let's get this going because they can make this into a playoff push.
They should, Tommy. Thank you for the call. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. I think the expectations should be altered a little bit to a positive. Again, I'm not going to make 2001 parallels. No, but I do think that you should alter your expectations a bit based on the conference, and you should be expecting playoffs at a minimum, maybe even a home playoff game as well.
Well, I mean, I think a lot of us expected playoffs before the season started, right? I mean, that was sort of the idea with all the money they spent.
But everything kind of collapsed after Dallas. I think people were ready to almost like, the hell with this.
No, it's true, but I'm just saying, you know, overall, when you look at the money they spent and the way they built the team, it was with the intention of being their internal expectation, I think, was to be a playoff team. And so, you know, living up to that is not sort of exceeding expectations.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.